The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As a consultant hepatologist with Cork University Hospital, Dr. Orla Crosby sees the consequences of heavy alcohol consumption on a daily basis, the burden it places on families and friends, not to mention the huge cost to the health budget every year. More people are presenting with liver damage, younger people, and most critically, more women, and it's part of an ongoing trend. Why would that be the case? Well, we'll be talking to Dr. Orla Crosby in a moment. And also we're joined by Samantha Kelly, who's CEO of Women's Inspire Network and herself a recovering alcoholic. Good morning to you both. Samantha, I might start with you about your journey with alcohol. And you do describe it as a journey, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's such an important topic and it's great to hear it being spoken about. I'm very lucky. I'm nearly 13 years sober, but, you know, my whole life has changed, but it wasn't always like that, you know.
And alcoholism, like the train journey from Dublin to Rosslare, but in your case...
Yeah, I actually say, you know, I always say, well, it's like a train journey from Dublin to Rosslare. I got out of Bray, you know, I live in Rosslare Harbour now, but it's funny, really. But, you know, there are people that keep going on that journey and keep going and they don't stop until they actually get out at Rosslare Harbour, you know. So I was very lucky that I recognised the signs and I knew I didn't want to be sick and tired anymore. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And for me, it wasn't like I didn't, you know, people say, oh, brown paper bag, a bag lady sitting under a bridge or something. There are so many people. Like, I looked great. I was functioning. I was doing all the things I was supposed to do, but, you know, I was very unhappy and it was affecting. I had two young children and I just felt so guilty one day. I just decided it was a really sunny day and I knew I should have been taking the girls to the beach or something. And I just couldn't get up off the couch. And I just said, I can't do this anymore. And that's why I decided to go to a meeting then.
And that's when you got off the train at Bray instead of continuing to Rosslare. How did it start, though? I mean, did you start drinking young? And, you know, how bad did it get? How quickly did it go wrong for you?
Well, I kind of only started, like, you know, I was at a party once, you know, a special family occasion. And I think in Ireland, it's very acceptable, isn't it, to have the, you know, oh, sure, look, you know, a few drinks, you know, sure, it's grand, it's a party, you know. So I kind of got away with it. I was 15. But then as I left school and I started going, like, I didn't drink at all, really, until I left school and I started going out and I started earning wages and working and stuff. And I really looked forward to Friday night. And I wasn't a drinker that drank every day. I would just live for Friday. I'd be so good all week. And then I would binge drink Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And a lot of people in Ireland would say, well, sure, that's normal. But it's actually, for me, it wasn't, because I also ended up singing in a band and stuff. And, you know, there'd be an after party and everyone would be like drinking tea. And I was like, no, I want to keep drinking. Like, and I didn't drink, like, if I went to an event, you know, in our business, in our industry, you know, there'd be like wine. Would you like a glass of wine? You know, at a book launch or something. And I'd be like, no, there's no point in having just one glass. Like, I just couldn't understand that. You know, once I had one, I wanted more. It's like I have an allergic reaction. It flicks a switch in me where I just wanted to keep getting more and more until I got drunk. And I knew I was a little bit different because everyone else seemed to be happy with their cup of tea, you know, or whatever. And I just wanted to keep going. And that's when I saw there was something wrong.
Yeah. And that realization that there was something wrong, because you were able to observe the way other people were handling that after gig party and you weren't handling it in that way. From there, obviously, you went on to have your children. And it was a while then, if they were beach going kids, it must have been a while from, you know, that realization there's something wrong to the decision. What was your particular poison, or did it matter?
Do you know what? First of all, I was very posh. You know, I liked Bacardi and the ice and the Coke. But towards the end, it didn't matter what it was. You know, I remember my dad when he was alive. My dad's passed away now about 10 years. But I remember he said to me once, you know, Sam, you should just stick to the beer. You know, and I got a few comments like that, you know, oh, wine doesn't suit you, or spirits don't suit you. You know, you get these little comments, but I just kind of ignored them. But when I started realizing more people were saying it to me as well. But for me, it was really, I just was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I wanted, I knew I'd lost a lot of confidence as well. And then I was a lone parent for a while. So I was lonely, and loneliness was a huge thing for me. Anyone who's listening, I'm sure there's someone listening that can identify with that. And I just felt, well, sure, I deserve this at the end of the week. Sure, look, I've been so good. I've been such a good mom all week. And, you know, I really deserve this. And but I was only harming myself. And then I wasn't at full capacity. You know, like since I've stopped, I, you know, my whole life has changed. I run two businesses. I have wonderful friends. I've remarried since. I have a lovely, wonderful husband. He's fabulous. My children, Pat, it's the children you see it in. My daughter, she's 21. She's just reopened today. She's her own business. My other daughter is 14. And they're just the things they come out with, like the love, you know, it's just lovely to see it filter down through the family. No.
Yeah. You mentioned that you were a weekend drinker. Did that change when you couldn't be going out like you used to with two children at home?
Yeah.
When you started to drink at home, did you drink more frequently?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. It was more, well, sure, no one can see the state of me kind of thing. You know, I didn't have to get all done up. Do you know what I mean? I put on a face. It was loneliness. It was kind of, I found solace in the bottle, really. And it just seems so long ago. It seems like a different person I'm talking about now. Yeah. But that was me. You know, that was me. And that's so many other people that, you know, just because, like, I never drank and drove. I never did any of the things, like got arrested or anything like that. But, you know, I still... People, I think in Ireland it's very acceptable, and there are so many women, I feel as well, that we drink more at home, like we wouldn't be as visible, you know.
Yeah.
As a pub.
I know you mentioned that your dad passed away 10 years ago, but you started to go to meetings 13 years ago, so he lived long enough to see you getting your act together.
Exactly what he would have said. Yeah, exactly. And you know what was lovely? When my father passed away, instead of the big drama, you know, there's no drama in my life now. You know, there was always a drama. You know, I was able to be there for my mother and my family. I was able to be there, you know, clear-headed, help with anything that needed to be done, and to be there present fully, you know, and that's a big thing. And I always felt like a useless member of society when I can get quite emotional talking about this, Pat, sorry, because, you know, you do feel a bit useless and you feel like you've nothing to offer. But now I am a useful member of society, and I support is vital. I couldn't do it on my own. I definitely couldn't do it on my own. And I've also found a spiritual way, like religion, inverted commas, to me was like that holy God picture at the top of my granny's stairs, you know. And I was terrified of it. And then, but now it's spirituality. It's just nicer. I help a lot of people. I have compassion and kindness in my life, and love, you know, and I am a use. I help a lot of people myself now, and it helps me when I help others, you know.
Well, you are an inspiration, Samantha, and thank you very much for sharing your story. You still go to meetings. It's important, reinforcement all the time. Dr. Orla Crosby, we're talking to Samantha, obviously, about a situation where she identified an alcoholic problem. Your job maybe is not at the social end of things, but it's the medical end of things when people present and they've got liver damage.
That's right, Pat. My speciality is liver disease, but of course, people who have often got to the stage of developing severe alcohol-related liver disease come with other issues as well. So Samantha's story, and congratulations to her, I have to say, for doing so well, rings true with me. I would have many people that I would see similar to Samantha who unfortunately have continued on her journey, as she said, and either got severe liver disease or died, and many of them do die during their first hospital admission. But I think she made very good points about how alcohol can go from a weekend event to suddenly, you know, an everyday event. and also how people can continue to function quite well. So it's not really obvious to anyone, and often perhaps to themselves even, that they are developing significant liver disease. So I think those points were very well made by her, and often maybe a triggering event like loneliness then that you find solace in drinking, and it then becomes a habit. And I think, like most things we do, they become a habit. So, you know, as Samantha said, you don't have to break the law. You don't have to draw attention to yourself. You can be just drinking quite large amounts of alcohol and end up in big trouble. Females, too, are more likely to get liver disease and other medical issues from alcohol because we're smaller and we have more body fat, so we don't metabolise alcohol as well as men. And that's why we do see people with alcoholic liver disease now presenting at a younger age, and females and males as well presenting even in their late 20s, past and early 30s.
My goodness, as young as that, because you tend to associate alcohol-related liver disease. And we must stress that there is liver disease which has nothing to do with alcohol. So if you have to go to someone like a hepatologist like yourself, it doesn't mean that you've got a drink problem that you're hiding. See, you know, that is one of the...
Yes, absolutely. And unfortunately, liver disease does have that stigma, Pat, and I mentioned it in my article. It's very important to try and remove that myth. Not all liver disease is due to alcohol. We've a lot of other things, hereditary causes. Hemochromatosis in Ireland is common, viral hepatitis, metabolic associated liver disease, cystic fibrosis, autoimmune. All those other conditions can cause liver disease as well. But certainly patients with alcoholic liver disease tend to get sicker, and perhaps they don't have the insight or the ability to stop drinking when they get sick. And they do tend to occupy the vast majority of our inpatients who are very sick with liver disease.
Now, how much do people, and as you say, women with lower body weight and with more fat and therefore not metabolising as rapidly as men, how much do you have to drink to do damage? I mean, the caricature of the bottle of vodka a night kind of thing, what is kind of permanently damaging to your liver?
Yeah, there isn't really a precise figure, Pat, and I'm not trying to avoid answering your question, but once you get over the recommended amounts of alcohol per week, or the, you know, the healthy limits as such, 21 for male and 14 units for female, your chance of getting liver disease increases with volume and with time. And then, of course, some patients will have what we call cofactors. So, for example, if you've got viral hepatitis as well, you're more likely to get, you know, liver disease quicker. So it is different with everybody, but certainly the more you drink and the longer you drink, the more likely you're to get into trouble. And I suppose also I should emphasize that there's a lot of other diseases that can be caused by alcohol. A lot of people aren't aware that alcohol is a feature in a lot of tumors, including breast cancer, colon cancer. And it also is associated with neurological conditions, falls, and then, of course, accidents and fractures, particularly as people get older.
You mentioned that some people can be pretty asymptomatic for liver disease.
Yeah.
How would they know to go to get help medically?
Exactly. They often don't. And often, in fact, people get so sick, we find that they've actually stopped drinking for a week or two before they come into hospital because they just can't stomach it anymore. And they're often, the first obvious sign is they become jaundiced, and they get a swollen tummy from fluid accumulation. And I suppose because all this is happening gradually, they don't have the insight into it. And perhaps they're not fortunate like Samantha, who have relatives that might point it out to them, but they may not pay heed to it. And people certainly can present with the most severe form of liver disease. And certainly I've had patients, like one lady I mentioned in the article in the paper, who died during her first hospital admission and left two young children behind. And she had no idea that the amount of alcohol she was drinking was as deadly as it was for her. So it's not always obvious, Pat.
And you're aware of how many beds are taken up with alcohol-related problems, and at what cost to the health service?
Huge volumes, Pat. It's estimated, that about 10% of the hospital budget is spent on alcohol-related problems. And people with end-stage liver disease tend to have very long periods of time in hospital. We often have people in hospital for 2 to 3 months at a time because they get other complications as well. That cost doesn't even figure in the cost for accident and emergency admissions, which, of course, a huge amount relate to alcohol, particularly at the weekends, Fridays and Saturday nights. And the amount, you know, lost to the economy from absenteeism, crime, and all those other, you know, alcohol-precipitated events, drink driving and accidents and deaths on the road as well.
Well, Orla, thank you very much for your insight. Dr. Orla Crosby, consultant hepatologist with Cork University Hospital. And before that, Samantha Kelly, CEO of Women's Inspire Network, a recovering alcoholic. Thank you both very much for joining us.